Okay, are we ready? Everything okay in the booth?
All levels are set. Talent is prepared and ready for action.
Oh.
Okay, let's do this thing. Oh, by the way, Jim, don't forget your three S's. Star, smile, strong. Okay. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto in this. Is Captain Podcasted. Hey, it's Jim Toronto, and welcome to Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Thank you for scrolling or clicking or pressing or whatever it is you do to find us here. Oh, don't forget, also have that landing page. Can't forget the infamous landing page. Just go to WGNplus.com, go to the entertainment section, and hit the prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podcast. There you will find 119 previous podcasts for your listening pleasure. Because this is 120. Podcast episodes. Wow. Still can't believe they're letting me do this. But I'm glad they are. I hope you are too. We're going to break format a little bit for this episode. I usually do a little rap of my own and then bring in a guest, sometimes Mick Kaler, to the Pop Culture Club. Most of the times lately, Emily Armanetti, to talk a little pop culture in addition to the poignant nonsense, is what I like to refer to it, that I sort of do on my own here. But I thought we'd bring in Emily right off the bat, because I wanted to talk about something somewhat serious today, a little more thought-provoking than usual, and Emily's got some nice insights on that. So rather than just doing a segment with her toward the end, I thought we'd bring her on for the entire podcast today. So we will play Emily's official music and bring her on. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. As we do most podcasts, we bring in our regular contributor, mostly on pop culture issues in the Pop Culture Club. But this week, I thought we could talk about something else that might be a little interesting to folks. And so we bring on Emily Armanetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Very, very good. So we usually talk about pop culture topics, but I've heard about this phenomenon, if you will, and now it's got a name. And a few months ago, and I saw it in the paper, and there was a story in the local paper here in Chicago just today. And, you know, it's the dog days of summer. Even celebrities get tired of making news. In the summer.
That's right. They're all on holiday.
Yeah, even they get a little tired. So there's not a... Usually, we are in the dog days right now of summer. There's not a lot of news. Most of the big movies have all been released, you know, and and the TV shows won't start now until late September, early October. So we're kind of in the doldrums of just getting through. It's, you know, the last weeks and now school starting. So it's kind of a little weird time in the news world.
Yes.
But so I thought, though, this might be interesting because you are a parent, as in addition to being a pop culture guru-esque, if you will.
Yes, right.
You are also a parent. You have two kids and
small
children. And so this, I thought, would be fun to talk about, to just to get your take on it, because as many people know, of course, I am childless. I am barren, if you will. Although we're not barren. That was the interesting thing. No. I mean, the thing is, it's like when we got married, as is the case, you know, everybody, you know, after you're married for about a year and a half or 2 years, as I'm sure you know, you start to get the questions.
Oh, of course.
When are you going to have kids? You're going to have kids, going to have kids.
And well, yeah, that is just the follow-on to, it like happens like when you're dating someone, it's like, when are you going to get engaged? Yeah. Then you get engaged. When's the wedding? Then you get married. And then, so the next logical thing is then everyone decides they're going to hound you about when you're going to have kids.
And I don't mind the, you know, when you're going out, I don't mind the when are you get married question, because that's a decision and people are interested and it's nice that they're interested and it's gossipy, yes. But it's okay. But it's something that, you know, you can plan yourself. You can make that decision.
You have control, 100% control over that.
But when you have to have children, there's no control whether you are planning on it or not, whether it's a surprise or whether it's planned. I mean, you can plan on it, but there's no, you can't say, "I'll see you at 8 o'clock and be there at 8 o'clock." You can't.
Right.
You can't be that precise, as I'm sure you know. And
exactly. No.
And so, but I mean, my wife and I. When we got married, we knew each other from when we were 16 years old. So it was nice to just finally be on our own and forge our own life, because we were always living at home and whatever. So it was nice to just, and then we were traveling, we had careers, and we both love children. I love children, and I. But it was just kind of like, you know, I don't know if that's just going to be a part of the scheme. We really enjoyed our life as it was. And as you know, that's a major commitment, and it should completely change. If you're going to be a parent, in my view, if you're going to be a good parent, it should change your life forever.
Yes. Well, let me put it to you this way. When my oldest niece, who's now 16, when she was 2.5 years old, she had a little baby sister. And then 2 weeks later, a little baby nephew that was born. Neither of those babies were my kids. I didn't have kids at this point.
Right.
And I came home for the holidays to visit. And I said to her, "So, Olivia, what do you think about these babies?" And she looked at me and she just said, "They are destroyers." And I was like, you know what? In some ways, they are destroyers.
It's true.
Because, you know, and they're great. And I love my kids. And it's hard to imagine my life without them, even though, yes, I fondly remember my life before kids. But they do sort of have this way of coming in and sort of exploding your entire life.
And
so,
and that's,
for better.
Right.
For better.
Right.
And maybe sometimes I don't
worse.
Know. You go through ups and downs, but it is, like you said, your life is going to drastically change.
Yeah, and there were a lot of things that I wanted to do and I wanted to see, and career-wise, and I mean, not only is it a huge burden, it's a financial burden, it's an emotional burden, it is a time-consuming, I mean, there's a lot of things that that you need to be. One thing about me, I'm very pragmatic. I maybe that's to a fault, I don't know. But I also like to know what I'm getting into.
Right.
You know, I like
it's
to...
It's always good to look before you leave.
Yes, exactly. All those bad cliches. And so I, you know, in my view, a lot of people say, as I said, people, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? And my mom, of course, you know, would be asking a lot. And finally, one time, you know, it got to the point where it was like, I even said this to her one time. I said, look, you know, I appreciate your interest, but that's a very personal question.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about it. And let's put it this way. What if, you know, say, because now we were married, say, 5 years, right? So now it's like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Even though we were, you know, 27 or 28 when we got married. So even by, you know, 5 years later, it wasn't like we were too old to have kids.
Right. Well, after 5 years, then I imagine people go from asking, "So, when are you going to have kids?" to asking, "Are you ever going to have kids?"
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. And so I said to my mom, I took her aside one time, and then I said, I know this, you know, it's a question that people ask. It's nice that they're interested. Certainly, you know, there's their own, you know, motives for asking, but it's nice. Okay, fine. But on the face of it, when you really dig down deep, it's a very personal question. And it could be a very hurtful question.
Right.
Because what if we have been trying for 5 years?
Right.
And haven't been able to conceive?
Nobody knows that.
Exactly.
You know?
Every time you ask that question, that's like a heart. That's like a knife in the crotch. No pun intended.
Oh, jeez.
But you know what I'm saying? Because you're reminding me.
Right.
But now that wasn't the case with us. We didn't try.
Right.
But no one, you just said it. No one knows that.
Right.
And so I'm like, Mom, do you realize? I said, and so then what was funny, you know, I think she took that as like, you know, when you tell a story, you say, you know, a friend of mine. When it's really you.
I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Right. So now she's like,
oh, my
what?
God.
You're Baron?
Yeah. You. Oh, my God. What? You know, and I said, no, that's not the case, because that's where she jumped.
Sure.
And I'm like, no. I said, but just I go, you know what? It's a personal matter. And if we are going to have kids, I guarantee you, you'll be the first to know.
Oh.
But until then, you know, enough. And I mean, I didn't say it in a mean way, but I was just like, you know, it's kind of a personal thing. What if we were trying? And I don't think that ever really, it was funny because I don't think that people that ask that question really think of that other side of it. Because they're just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jennifer Aniston has had to address this publicly because, okay, now, and you know how annoying it is when people keep asking you. Now, imagine you're someone like her other week.
Right.
On the cover of the tabloid. She's pregnant. She's not pregnant. She lost, you know, Brad Pitt because he wanted kids. She didn't want kids. And she finally kind of said, first of all, none of this is true. I might have kids. I might want to have kids. You know, I think I will have kids. Now she's at a point in her life where I think she's kind of saying, like, you know what? No, you don't really know what goes on with people. You have no idea. You don't know if I've tried to have kids and it's been a tough situation.
Exactly.
And now she's also now a little bit on the track of, you know, a woman doesn't need to have kids to be fulfilled.
She's in her mid-40s.
She's in her late 40s, yeah. I think. She's so, which is not to say, I mean, hey, Brigitte Nielsen, I think, just had a baby and she's in her 50s.
Oh,
but
right.
Point being, you know, she actually has had to shine a little bit of a spotlight on this because she's sort of reminding people, like, well, you know what? You don't actually know what's going on.
Exactly.
So, you know, this could actually be really difficult for me.
Right. So that's hint. So that's a hint to folks out there. I you know, it's okay to, I know you're interested in the question. And maybe it is just for your own, or you're just trying to show interest in your friend, or you got nothing to talk about, whatever it is. But ask one time is fine. But don't make it a regular question. Because you really don't. And especially in today's world, we are seeing, I mean, how many people we don't even know have probably gone to fertility
clinics. Oh, well, you know what? I never, ever ask people, like, are you going to have kids? I don't even ask people who already have kids. Oh, so you're thinking about another one? I've had people ask me that, which honestly, like, that doesn't bother me if people ask me that. I sort of laugh now because I'm like, do you know how old I am? Right. But, you know, whatever. But I just don't even ask because of that.
Well, think about, once again, it's fine. But it is a very personal question because you're basically saying, so when are you guys going to screw again?
Well, on one hand, that is one implication, I suppose, of the question you're asking. But I think the bigger issue, it is kind of a personal question. If you really think about it like that, it's a little bit creepy. But on the other, it's actually, to be honest, it's creepier when people announce that they're trying.
Oh, I am.
Because that's like, okay, too much information.
They don't have, are there parties for that now? They're not having, I know they have reveal parties of the sexes, you know, the sex maybe now.
No.
But they're not, they don't have we're trying parties, do they?
They're popping out of the box naked, you know. Yeah. Guess what, friends and family?
Yeah,
no,
look. We're giving you.
I don't know.
We're giving
you. Have to ask.
The party favors are empty boxes of Trojans.
Right. I don't know what the millennials are doing anymore. I don't know what they're doing, but no, I just don't ask. You know, like, even when people have kids, it's like you don't even know what they may have had to go through to get the kids they have. So, like, I just stay away from it altogether.
Yeah.
If someone tells me they're having a baby, I say congratulations.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. Like,
so there's a little word to the wise, gang.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, that's a very personal thing. And I know you might not see on its face, you're not trying to pry. you might be just, you know, you're interested in the people and you'd like to know. It's an important part of people's lives and things like that. And I get that. But there is an aspect to it that is very intrusive. And so regardless. But anyway, so I think I started on this tangent just because I was saying you have kids and I don't. And there was 20 minutes. Thank you very much. But I could have just gone right past that.
But you could still have opinions about parenting.
Here's the thing. So, you know, people have said to me, well, geez, that's kind of, very selfish of you that you didn't have kids because you're just so worried about yourself and you want to do whatever you want to do and you don't want to give up your life. And most of the people that say that are the ones who have kids and maybe regretting it, you know, or they are jealous of our freedom. So they just put a guilt thing on us. But my point is, I actually view it as, no, I'm not selfish at all because I really thought hard about it. And I don't know if I would have, what kind of parent I would have been. And maybe this is my, once again, my pragmatism that maybe is a little too much. I mean, there's some things you just have to go with. I get that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, to my point, I said, you know what? I don't know if I'm willing, to your point about kids are destroyers.
They are destroyers.
You know, yes. I don't know if I can, if I'm willing to, we liked our life as it was, and we certainly were looking forward to doing other things, and it was almost like, I don't know if that really is a part that I want to change that dynamic. I mean, thankfully, I'm with somebody who I have no problems being with 24 hours a day.
Well, that's good.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So and we know each other very well, and so it was like, this is a nice life, and that
right.
And that certainly would have been a whole new aspect. But it was like, geez, I don't know if that really is something that we wanted to do. And so my point is, it was my point wasn't that I'm not being selfish. I'm actually think I'm being nice. I'm saying, you know what? I'm being very honest with myself. Maybe I wouldn't be able to give 135% every minute of the day. Because in my view, if you don't wake up every day, if you're a parent and you don't wake up every day, the first thing on your mind are your kids, you're not doing a good job.
Right. So you're actually being very selfless.
Right. Because I'm saying to myself, look, I don't think I'm going to be a good parent, or maybe I don't know. I can't trust myself to do that. And so why should I, you know, the kid didn't ask to be here.
Right.
This was my decision. And so when I made that decision, I should have thought about everything in there before I did that. So I look at this as saying, no, I'm actually not being selfish because I was honest enough to say, maybe it's just not right for me. It's not that's not that I hate kids, or that
no.
I think you're being dumb being a parent. It's just, it's not right for me. Why did somebody buy a blue car and somebody buys a yellow car? You know, it's the same kind of thing. And so in terms of having opinions, I want to get your opinion because, as I said, you fall right into this topic. But I exactly agree with your point. I believe that my views on parenting and my ability to comment on them, even either specific people or just in general, I think my kind of views actually carry even more weight because I'm not emotionally invested.
Right.
And I'm not...
You're an innocent bystander.
I'm an objective observer saying, okay, I'm not feeling, when I raised my kids and bringing my own experience and my own feelings into it, and I'm also not looking at it from the view of a parent. I'm looking at it as a view of the result of the parenting.
Right.
And I can look at it that way because I'm not invested in that. So
right.
I actually think that my view carries a lot. Some people say, you don't know until you're a parent. Well, you don't know until you're not.
Right.
You don't know what your parenting looks like to those of us.
Right.
Yeah.
To the guy sitting at the next table.
To the guy at the next table. Yeah. You don't know what your parenting looks like because if you're surrounded by parents, you all just sort of give that same shrug. Like, we all know what we're doing here. But I don't have that. So I'm looking and saying, you know what? Bad job, parent. Or good job, parent, because I can see the result.
That's
Boy,
right.
this kid is well adjusted. Nice job.
Well, it's not only kids. Remember that these kids grow up to be adults that are then let loose in the world.
Well, so thank you. Well, thank you. You know, well, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I know that you're an intelligent person and you know what you're doing. What drives me crazy is, hey, everybody wants to have a baby. How could you not want a baby? Babies are the coolest thing on earth. Nothing cooler than a baby. I would love to have 20 babies, but I don't want to have 20 kids.
Right.
And I don't want to have 20 adults.
Right.
You know, everybody want. Who could not want a baby that have the fat little knees and the fat little ankles and the fat little arms and the round head, and they have that smell and they go. And I mean, it's fantastic. I love being around kids. My godson, Patrick, you know, now he's over 1 year old. I mean, when I see him, I love playing with little Max. He's great. But you have to remember, this is a lifetime commitment.
Yes.
And it's not, and I love this idea, after the kid's 18, BS, you're a parent until you die.
Right. You are. But also, you are, even if people don't see it that way, it's like still, but your child grows up into an adult who then goes out in the world. And like, what if you raised a total jerk?
Exactly.
You know?
Or what if you raised somebody your bad parenting is affecting me because I have to lock my doors now.
Right. So this human being that you like, you know, there's different theories about it, but we'll say molded.
Yeah. Oh,
definitely. Is now out there in the world.
And
you,
me, once again, you have to think of that. Everybody wants a baby, but do you want a 12-year-old? Do you want a 16-year-old? Do you want a 22-year-old that's going to drive you crazy, that's not going to listen to you, that's going to rebel against you, that's going to want to do what they want to do?
That's going to take 6 years to graduate from college.
Right. That's going to cost you $500,000.
On your dime. Yeah.
And everybody, exactly. You know, everybody gives us a hard time. Oh, you go to these concerts or you go on these trips. Hey, I don't have a kid.
Right.
That's a huge. You don't understand the expense that you have that I don't have.
You know what I call that? You are footloose and fancy
free. Right. But, you know, but I'm saying, so this wasn't by accident. This was by design. Yeah, you know what? If we don't have a kid, well, look what we'll be able to do. So you'll make that decision. Yes, I won't be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. All right? I had that, so that's a sacrifice. I won't be able to watch my kid hit a home run or my kid graduate from college or high school. I've made those sacrifices. Those are milestone moments that I won't be experiencing. I've made that decision. So I've made some sacrifices. So don't get mad at me, because look at those are lifetime experiences that I won't have that you will. So you just revel in what you have and I'll revel in what I have. You know, and that's the way I look at it.
Right.
So anyway, but I do believe that my opinions, to my point about parenting without being a parent, still hold some weight, because as I said, I can observe this from the outside and going, wait a minute. You know, that's just not right. And here's the right way to do it. And people say, oh, you can't. No, there is a right way to do something, regardless of whether you are involved in it or not. In anything, not just parenting. But so here's what I wanted to ask you, because I saw this story, and I heard about this phenomenon a few months ago, and I was really taken aback that it actually has a name. So we all know that, you know, helicopter parenting now has been the, you know, that's one of the phrases that, you know, parents are constantly hovering over their kids, and every the kid's day is completely structured, and what you're, you know, and everything is planned out, and da da da, and boop boop boop. And most people now, when they view this from the outside, especially some older people that aren't raising kids, say, "Well, my gosh, remember when I grew up? Especially if you grew up 30 or 40 years ago." We would get up in the morning and we'd leave the house at 9 and wouldn't come back till 5.
Right.
And
we were like that too.
Yeah, and then when you went out for after dinner, you came in when the streetlights came on. That was kind of your curfew to get back in.
Yep.
And your parents didn't know what the hell you did, where you went. If my mom and dad knew how far we drove on our bike sometimes, like, you went where?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, but once again, you know, you hopefully you hope that you raised a kid that you can trust.
Right.
That isn't going to do something crazy. But now, you know, in the last 30 years or so, this whole idea of structured parenting and spending 24 hours a day with the kid and having everything planned out and know that the kid can never be without an eye shot of somebody. And yes, I understand. We're in a different society as well. There are some evil things that are more present in today's world than there used to be. Although, I got news for you. When I look back and you see some of the stuff, people have just been... There's been bad things since the beginning of time. I think we're a little more... You know, we're a little more revealing now that this stuff happens.
Well, we're more aware, too, just because we... You know, you didn't like... I mean... Way back, if something bad happened in your community, you found out about it. But if something bad happened, like, in another state, you didn't necessarily kind of get that. When we were kids, you know, now you've got people who, like, okay, so we have TVs. They can watch the nightly news. News travels a little bit further. I mean, the world we live in today, I mean, everything is, like, you do one, like, someone does something and, like, you put it on the internet and everyone in the entire world gets it immediately. You know, So we're just more aware of the things that are happening, whether it's in our own community or whether it's halfway across the world.
And some of that stuff is good. I mean, we've got this whole idea that if there are sexual predators in a neighborhood, they have to register. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand all that stuff. But there certainly this whole phenomenon of the helicopter parent has really, you know, taken hold. And there's many people that will not leave their kids alone for a second, and it's not just toddlers, you know, it's even teenagers, you know, they have to, you know, there's the leash is still there, even if it's invisible, it's still there. And so I, once again, not being in the parental community and not knowing all these things, I wasn't aware of some of these terms, but I saw this in the paper a few months ago, this term called free range parenting.
Right.
Which, you know, we've heard the term free range chicken.
Yeah.
Of chickens and animals that are not raised in cages. Yeah,
I buy free range eggs.
You know, but, you know, so they're not raised in cages and so and everything. But now, you know, to have that term applied to parenting was really kind of jolting because I guess it's a pretty good descriptor of the fact of this idea that you really, in our age, day and age, you're not supposed to leave your, you know, it's almost, it's not just a societal kind of taboo to not be hovering over your kid 24 hours a day. But in some states, it's even a legal thing that you really can't leave your kid alone. And I saw this story that there was a woman here in Wilmette, Illinois, which is a upscale suburb, and her 8-year-old daughter had just gotten a new dog, and she let the little girl walk the dog down the block.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, an anonymous phone caller called the police in Wilmette, and when the girl came back to the house, there were the cops waiting to question the parents, and this turned into like a DCFS subject and issue. It took 2 months for this to be cleared. They had to interview friends and family and pediatricians. And all these people did was let their 8-year-old daughter walk their dog in front of the house when they weren't chaperoned.
Right.
And as I said, I'm thinking back to my childhood. And I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, my mom wasn't out there watching. But, you know, we didn't really leave the block. You know, I mean, we were outside in front of our house, and we were riding our bikes up and down the street.
We were all over our neighborhood. I mean, I was like
7 or 8. I'm trying to think, how old was I?
When I was eight years old, we ventured pretty far from. We had to stay in our neighborhood in the sense that there were two, we'll say, busy roads that kind of ran around the outer perimeter of the bigger neighborhood, right? And so that was it. Those were the boundaries. Like, you don't cross this road and you don't cross this road. But that was like a huge, it was a big neighborhood, and we had lots of friends who lived in house, you know, in the neighborhood. There were a couple parks in the neighborhood, and we just had our run of the place. Even when we were 8 years old, we went way past our own little block.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think, like, how, like, what age was when, because I remember, like, the big thing then when I was, now that you say that, probably I did go, because I remember when I started to play baseball, you know, at the park, you know, in a little league, you know, I mean, the big thing was, you know, there came a point where, you know, my parents used to drive me, but then all of a sudden it was like, hey, take your bike there.
Right.
And I mean, and for me, the park wasn't that, it was literally a straight shot down my street. It was several blocks down. It was probably a mile or two down. But I didn't have to, like, make left turns and right turns in the fear of getting lost. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just kind of a straight shot, but it still wasn't right next to my house. And so, yeah, it was probably, you know, 8 or 9 to your point. And then we started to, you know, once you get on your bike, you know, the world is bigger all of a sudden. But so I was just, so, I mean, I heard about this, and once again, older people, we hearken back to these days when there wasn't this kind of helicopter parenting, and this wasn't this constant where is everybody, or where are you? You've got to be within eye shot of a parent, or they have to be literally with you all the time. Right. So I'm just wondering, you know, so now I'm just reading that things have gotten so tense because there is this expectation that Utah is actually trying to pass a law to lessen some of the requirements so that parents can have a little freedom, so that you won't get these inquiries and be automatically or initially investigated for doing something. Like, this mother in Wilmette was like, I didn't know what the heck, what was happening here. My daughter was just walking her dog.
I have to say, like, I'm okay. So hearing that story, and I have, the kid was like around 8 years old,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I have an 8 year old son. He's a switched on kid. He's a bright kid. I trust him a lot. It's not him. Like, I would trust him to be able to do something, and we're giving him a little bit more freedom. Like, if we're stopping to pick up food somewhere, you know, we'll give him the credit card, let him run into the restaurant, pick up the food. Well, we're right outside in the car. We can literally see him.
They let him use the credit card?
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
He just went and picked up food the other day, and he said,
what?
Daddy, not only that, but get this. He said, Daddy, you didn't order. When I went up there, I asked the guy, did my daddy order chips and salsa? And the guy said, no. So he added it to the order. And I did think to myself, I'm surprised they let him do
so
that.
Wait a minute. Wait, so how does he?
It didn't bother us.
So but... does he give them the card?
Yeah.
Or does he stick it into does he stick the chip into the slot?
Well, he probably just gives it to them. I mean,
and they take it. So there's no signing anymore.
Okay. Remember that an adult has called in this order. So it's not like he just walked in off the street and bought a bunch of stuff and handed them a credit card.
That's hilarious.
You know. But I have to say, I would not say that I'm a helicopter parent by any means, and I'm not driven by, you know, a need to control my kids and constantly, like, you know, it's more the outside, it's the rest of the world that I don't trust. And, you know, we grew up in a time when, yes, you know, we were free range pretty much. We
oh my God. Word for free it range. We were open country.
But remember that I was right on the cusp. In fact, it was when I was maybe just about to be a teenager, I think, or maybe I was even a little bit younger, but I was in that generation where that shift from like that to then like the abduction scare, right, like right. milk carton
right,
thing,
right,
because
right.
and I actually attribute this to like one major news event, which was really, I mean, this kind of kicked off a whole thing, but the Adam Walsh abduction.
Oh, right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And
then his father became the
father
star.
Went on to be the host of America's Most Wanted.
Right.
He dedicated his life to helping the FBI capture like notorious criminals who were on the most wanted list because of what happened to his son, which was that his son was abducted and then very sadly, tragically had been murdered and was found. And, you know, they had did like a, there was kind of a, it was all over the news and then they did kind of a TV movie about it. So everybody in that who was alive then kind of saw that shift, I think, where suddenly people were really afraid to even turn their backs for a second because in the, like, for example, in the case of Adam Walsh, he was in the Sears, I think, or some other similar department store with his mother. She turned her back for like 2 minutes, I think, to find a salesperson or something, and he was gone.
Right.
And that's how fast it can happen. And so I think that created a generation of parents who kind of like me are a little bit afraid even for our children to be out of our eyesight, even for a very brief amount of time. But that said, I have an 8-year-old. He is very trustworthy. He's also getting older. So now he like wants to walk to and from the bus stop without me standing.
Right,
in fact, if
right.
he sees me kind of standing watching from our property, he sort of waves me away like, go,
right,
you know,
right,
go.
Right.
So anyway, I recently we were and I do start to wonder like what are the boundaries. So recently I was my daughter was at summer camp and my son was off of summer camp that week because I was kind of giving him a little bit more leeway this summer to do just to have more free time. And I wanted to in the morning just go for a walk, just for exercise, a little power walk. And I was trying to convince him to come with me. He was really giving me a hard time. And I thought to myself, like, I wonder what the like if I were to go and I'm just walking in my neighborhood, you know,
right.
If I were to leave him home, is that like allowed? Is that even legal? I mean, I trust him that he's not going
to
get any
right. But to your point,
trouble.
Is it legal? Right.
To be honest, these kids—if they get 30 minutes alone, all they want to do is sit there and stare at an iPad.
Right.
You know, he's not even going to move 2 inches from the spot where I left him. So I'm not worried about that. But I don't know. I mean, I really almost Googled, like, what are the rules? I almost called my husband to say, what do you think? Like, at what point, what age do these kids have to be at where we can step out for,
But here's the point.
Walk in the neighborhood. But I don't know. And so you know what I did? I just convinced him to come with me. Because erring on the side of caution, I don't know. Now, on the flip side of that, I would think that if my son were walking the dog in the neighborhood, no adult around, and a neighbor sees this and gets a little concerned, my hope would be that the or my thought, and maybe what I would do is the neighborly thing to do is to approach the child as a neighbor, like, oh, hey, I'm your neighbor. I live in this house. Like, you don't want to be creepy about it, you know, but you say like, oh, where's your grown up? Or, oh, is your mom around or whatever? Try to figure out like what's happening first before you pick up the phone and place an anonymous phone call to like the police or DCFS or, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but once again now, you know, to your point, you also let's take the flip side. Everything you just said about what you would do, that's the motive or the MOs of people that abduct kids.
Oh, well, that,
think
I
about
guess
that.
You're, well,
where's
okay.
your parent? Oh,
right.
my mom told
no.
me. You know what?
No,
my, you know, my mom told your mom told me to let to pick you up to take.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. Where's your grown up is only something that parents say to kids, mostly on the playground when they're being really naughty, and you're like, where is the grown-up that's responsible for this kid? So you go, where's your grown-up? But
oh, is that a phrase?
Oh yeah, where's your grown-up?
Oh, how funny.
Because you also don't know, because you also cannot assume that
they're
necessarily
right.
with a parent. They could be with a nanny or a babysitter or whatever. So you say, where's your grown-up? But no, you know, it's got to be taken in context, okay? If I'm standing on the corner of my block and I'm outside or I'm outside on my front lawn. I mean, look, I live in the kind of neighborhood where people know each other. We all wave to each other when we pass in cars. You recognize your neighbors, okay? If a kid were walking in front of my house and I came out of my house and said, oh, hey, where's your grown-up? Like, are you are you walking by yourself or is your mom? Like, I guess maybe kids are taught, they're taught not to talk to strangers. But in this context, it's kind of clear. I'm a neighbor. I live in your neighborhood. I live right. in a house. I know that doesn't make me necessarily not a kidnapper. But, right.
Well, no. I'm just saying, it's like I said, there's a gray area because to your point,
what if you just say, does your grown up know that you're walking by yourself?
Right.
Just
but here's your point is that for someone who doesn't know you.
Right.
You know, my fear is that there's people that are projecting their fears or their parenting on others. And that's where I think you get in trouble here because, you know, this person who called on this person we met obviously said they would never leave their children away for 1 second. So if they see a child walking a dog in their minds, this is abhorrent behavior. This is terrible parenting, and I have to call authorities on this because this is wrong. Now, the woman that the parent who let the kid walk the dog, the final quote of this story says, everyone needs to allow a parent to do what is best for their family. No one will dictate my parenting choices. And, you know, I understand what she's saying. Now, the other side of the coin is some parenting choices are very wrong.
Yes.
So that's where there is a vagary in not only the laws, but there's a vagueness here as to when are you being, for instance, a diligent neighbor, or when are you being an obtrusive neighbor?
Right.
You know what
I mean? It's also really hard, too, because I think that it's like, you know, you could say, they could come up with some kind of a law where they say, well, a child under this age can't be left alone or whatever. But the reality is that all kids are so different. And like some 8-year-old kids could be perfectly capable of walking a dog, getting around the neighborhood, getting back home safely, barring any sort of like, you know, some sort of intervention.
Well, I'll tell you,
nefarious intervention. But some kids at that age may not be. And it just really depends on the kid.
Exactly.
And so it's hard. You don't know.
Well,
as a parent, you're the one who kind of, you know your kids, right?
Well,
and I guess that's what I take from that. That parent knows their kids. But, you know, again, I would not pick up the phone and call the police. But for me personally, I do still have a little bit of that worry of having my kids out of my eyesight just because I just don't trust. It's not them that I don't trust. It's the rest of the world.
Well, here's the thing, you know, once again, of being a non-parent and just somebody that is observing this. What I believe, I understand we're in a very different world, and it's a dangerous world, and some of the evils are more apparent than they used to be. But the other side of the coin is, and that's why, once again, and I'm not just saying this because I know you, but I think you're looking at this from the correct view, is that what you don't want to do is raise a kid. I mean, your goal here is, your goal, I would think, as a parent, and I would tell my mom this, especially, you know, when I was getting older, and like you said, your son is kind of waving you away. I would think the goal of every parent, as you said earlier, too, about, hey, what if you raise a bad kid who becomes a menace to society? Your goal as a parent, if you did a great parenting job, this is the dichotomy of parenting. And it's probably the most unfairest part of parenting. If you did a great job as a parent, your kid won't need you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying if you did a great job, the goal is to raise a self-sufficient human being who can get along in the world on their own.
Right.
Without having to constantly, you know, who is street smart as well as book smart and can be self-sufficient. And I would say that to my mom. You know, I was an only child, so she certainly was protective of me. And I said, Mom, you know, consider yourself, you did a good job. I'm not calling you at 20 times a day because I don't know how to do something or I can't get by. You've done a good job. I've been able to find a way to figure things out for myself. That's the job of a parent. And what I'm afraid of is that we are creating a generation of people that are almost like lambs to the slaughter. They're not street smart. They're used to having somebody over their shoulder. When they get out into the real world and they're by themselves, they really can't cope. I mean, there was just, you know, I don't know the specifics, so I don't know if this is a perfect example, but I sense there's a lot of people, because they have had this false bubble of security around them that their parents have created, and there comes a point where, as a parent, you cannot be there 24 hours.
Right.
And what I'm afraid of is that there is a generation out there that there's a false sense of security because these kids have been raised in such a tight bubble that they don't really know what's out there because they haven't been allowed to know. And I bring up this girl that was, what, this 20-year-old girl that was just abducted and killed in Iowa, who was jogging.
Ooh. Yeah, and very sad.
Yes, very sad. And I don't know all the particulars here, but my point is, you know what? I don't care whether you live in Brooklyn, Iowa, or Brooklyn, New York. There's bad people everywhere.
Right.
And you shouldn't be jogging alone and thinking that's okay. If you're a young girl like that.
Well, I don't know, though. It's hard because, like, look, I go walk and I go run by myself because I don't have a choice. I can't hire a bodyguard to run with me, you know? So,
I understand that. But I'm just saying I see these women.
It's a tough one because to some extent you also have to live your life.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just afraid. When I see this 20-year-old, and I think it sounds like she did the right thing. She had her phone with her. And mm-hmm. so, and apparently she said, look, I'm going to call the cops, and this guy must have overpowered her. But my point mm-hmm. is, I think there's a lot of people with a false sense of security. I see women jogging at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night in some neighborhoods that I know I wouldn't walk in. I wouldn't walk in.
Right.
And it's like, you know, just because this one block that you live on is all gentrified doesn't mean that five blocks down is the worst neighborhood in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, and so I understand it's a thin line, but I, the one thing that I'm afraid about with the kind of helicopter parenting is that when kids get out into the real world, if they don't have that sense of being street smart, of being aware of their surroundings on their own, because they can always rely on somebody else to be there. That's my
Well, you know, I, it's so funny because I was just listening to this woman being interviewed. I forget her name, but she's like a psychology professor, and she's promoting a book about parenting, and it's called like The Gardener and the Carpenter. And she talks about, like, she's identified two different types of parenting. One is carpentry, and this is the parent. This is kind of more the generation, I think, that's now, like, this is today's generation, because, you know, everybody like is educated, everyone went to school, then you built your career before you had kids. And so you approached parenting the same way that you approach school or career, where you sort of try to figure out what are the right things to do, what are the right skills to get, you know, what's the magic formula that you're going to, you know, the magic book you're going to read or whatever,
right.
That's going to give you the skills to like shape your child and mold your child into this particular kind of human being. And then the gardening parent is not so much about controlling the kid. And so I think carpentry is kind of more like the helicopter parenting type style. And the gardening maybe is more free range style, which is not into controlling the child. This is more of like, you give them like a protected space to explore. And like in gardening, she was explaining that the reason for this term is like, anyone who's a gardener knows, like, you can plant and you can put the fertilizer in and you can do all the stuff that you do, but you realize like some parts of your garden aren't going to do that well.
Right.
Whereas surprising things will happen in your garden that you didn't necessarily expect. And that's all part of the way it works. And so this idea is like these parents who give their kids like a protected space, of course, but the kids can explore and they sort of grow into this person and interesting things happen and things that you don't expect to happen. And, you know, I think it is interesting generationally how she explains, especially with the carpentry approach, how these things happen. But I think what she's advocating for is like that, maybe just a looser approach is what really works, because ultimately there is no magic formula and you can't necessarily mold and shape
right.
human beings into what you want them to be.
Yeah.
But the other really interesting thing that she brought up is like, and I never realized this, because everything's like a thing now, you know? Parenting wasn't even a term.
Right.
Until like the 1970s. Right. So we were already born. We were already kids when people even started talking about parenting as a thing. And it is funny because whenever you see these like memes that go around about being a kid in the 70s, like... Right. One of the funniest points is like our parents were, I mean, it gets overblown that parents were like checked out back then, but it was like, they weren't so involved. They were just like, you know, they were just like going through life, right? With kids. Like that's what it was. There was no methodical approach, you know, it was just kind of like, it's like my method of parenting. It's like survivalist parenting. You were just trying to get through the day, right? Well, with everybody still alive,
and you're basically basing your experience on how you were raised,
right? Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like honestly, most days I'm like barely keeping my head above water. I don't really have time to have like a methodical approach. I'm just like, hey, everybody's still alive, and we made it through the day.
Another
let's
good
try
day.
This again tomorrow. It's a good day. Yeah, let's do this again tomorrow. I'll see you in the morning.
Well, I guess I'm just afraid. As I said, I mean, when we're talking about this now, it's getting to a point where, you know, once again, we're just to sort of. To conclude here, to your point, I like this idea of this carpentry and gardening thing, just from the standpoint of, as you were explaining it to me, the one thing that jumps out, as I said before, of being objective on looking at this is that, you know what, as everything else, an extreme does not work.
Right.
To your point about the carpenter and the gardener, you know what, to me, it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, this is just, it's not my theory.
No, I'm just saying, just hearing those two examples, my view would be, you know what sounds right? Something in the middle. Yes, there needs, you need to be conscientious. You need to be observant. You need to be worried. You need to be, you need to be actively involved, but you shouldn't be oppressively involved. You shouldn't be hovering. You shouldn't, you should let your kid make some mistakes. You should let your kid fall and skin his knee. There's lessons to be learned from bad things. Now, hopefully they're not catastrophic, but there is something to be said for street smarts, and there is something to be said for failing because you learn from failure. And so I think that's what, and so this whole idea of, geez, you can't even let your kid walk your dog without being not only accused in the community of being a horrible parent, but you could actually be legally in trouble.
Right.
And the point then comes, a bigger issue, like this woman said, where do we go from when is the government telling me what's a good parent, and when am I deciding what's good parent for my kids, as you said, which is a good point. Every kid is different, and your kids are different, and the maturity level. Hey, I was a latchkey kid, and I'm trying to remember.
Oh, me too.
And I'm trying to remember how old I was in first or second grade. I came home from school and stayed home for a good 2 hours by myself.
Yes, we did. I think I was in third grade.
Yeah, I can't remember if I was in second or third grade, but, you know, and I was always mature for my age, and I was an only child, and a lot of time only children are more mature, but I'm trying to think. I mean, I actually,
you know what? I take that back. I think I was in fourth grade.
Yeah, I may have been younger.
But my son just started third grade, so
that's what I mean. So I just think that we've got to cool our jets here, and you know, I think it's one side. Yeah, this person who called the cops, you know, yeah, if you see something terrible happening, and this person's motives may have been the person, this anonymous call here on this woman who let her 8-year-old walk the dog, her motives may have been very pure and very and just worried. But
it can also be
like, hey, wait a minute, this is my kid, and if you want to let your kid. If, you know, not be outside on this, that's your business. I don't let my 8-year-old walk their dog around the block or down the street. I'm going to do it. Once again, just as you said, to conclude here, there is no right answer. That's the great mystery of parenting, too.
As with most things in life.
Yeah, there is no right answer. And you, as you said earlier, too, the context is important. The individual person, the individual situation. I think that parenting is the most important and the most difficult job that we have in our lives. And I give every parent a hell of a lot of credit for deciding to do it. And for those of you who are diligent, active, and concerned parents, I think that you guys are doing amazing work, because it is the hardest, and maybe I'm a coward, or maybe whatever I am, but I certainly, as I said, I don't, I admire people who have decided to do that, because I know if you're doing the right job and a good job, it should be a 24-hour-a-day lifetime job. And if that's the way that you view it, then I think you are going to wind up molding or putting out, putting out into society a member that is going to help rather than hurt other people. And that's the goal.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Well, next week we'll talk about more frivolous things, like pop culture and movies and Jennifer Aniston and who she's dating.
I still worked her in. Did you see that? Did you see what I did there?
Yes,
you did. I still got her into this conversation.
I saw that you did that. That was nice.
My job here, my work here is done.
It was nice. That was very nice. But it's interesting to hear your insights on this and your struggles and your kind of questions that you have on a daily basis, because as I said, I'm sure there's a lot of books out there, but there's no rule book. And a lot of this is taking little bits and pieces here and there. And as you said, it's some days, what a great phrase, just surviving the day.
Yeah. Some days I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. What am I doing here?
Well, but you know what? The best part is, the good part is that you are smart enough to realize that.
Well, yes, right.
And that's the key. No, really, because some people...
I don't know if that makes me smart, but...
No, because
I know my limitations.
No, but I think that's, once again, I think that you need that realization to know that everything you do may not be right. And you know that you are just... Some of this is improvised and some of this is written in stone. And the goal is to know when to go to those.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So... Well, Emily, as always, it's always fun to talk to you, and it's always fun to, at least in my mind, know why I made the perfect choice not to have kids. We will talk to you next week. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
And that concludes another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. A new episode is posted every Monday for your enjoyment. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screens.